Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Tom Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting.
It's Got Your Ears On.
Okay, everybody, welcome to Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido, along with Scoot.
Hello.
And Johnson.
Pack it up, pack it in. Let us begin.
Let us begin with a win. How about that, man? I will be the first to say that I came into this week
nope.
And I would not say you're a genius. I came into this week, did not expect to win. I don't think, let's be honest, did any of us really expect to win this game?
Well, and I think there's going to be a lot of trust the climb stuff on Twitter. And I laughed to myself because most of the stuff I saw on Twitter was just, oh, we all suck. We're all going to die. You know, we're fireballing into the sun at a rapid pace. And then by the end of the day, Saturday, it was like, we're going to win the national championship and we're awesome and everything's great. And it's just, it makes me laugh. Just, I love us, you know,
we're so bipolar as fans.
I love us so much.
And then Kansas,
I was going to say, I think if we played back the video, though, I do believe I counted this as a win in the first episode of Got Your Ears On.
Well,
I think you
have
counted
eight of them as wins.
But you counted eight of them, right? Are you back to eight now,
Scoot? I'm back
to
eight. Yeah, I'm back to eight. Come on.
Well, let's just enjoy this. It was so fun. Let's just talk about it real quick. Let's not try to, you know, ruin it with prognostication. It was so fun.
It was a great game to watch. I don't understand the team that I saw play. Like we watched last week's game against Mizzou, and Austin Kendall was running for his life 90% of the time. The offensive line couldn't stop, you know, a flea from getting across the line of scrimmage.
Well, and I remember at the end of last week's podcast, I remember I said, at least speaking for myself, that, you know, you were saying, how do you feel about next week? And I remember saying, unless we see a dramatic turn in this play at the line of scrimmage, you know, I don't know how we're going to fare a whole lot better. And wow, did we ever see a dramatic turn of events at the line of scrimmage?
They looked great, Scoot. They just, that line of scrimmage was,
well,
completely,
it was a
offensive line was completely different.
Reshuffled. You had some new guys and new spots.
New center.
I think Bryson Mays was the center. According to Coach Brownie, he looked good. He said that the big thing for him was getting consistent snaps. Meaning physically snapping the ball consistently. Right.
Let me ask you something else though. I really felt like right off the bat, you know, we deferred, so we trotted the defense out first. I thought the defense came out like gangbusters, and I thought that energy immediately translated over to the offense.
And that was 2 weeks in a row that the defense, because even in the Missouri game, the defense came out and played that first series against Missouri looking great last week. They looked great this week, that first series. But I agree with you. Then all of a sudden, the offense just built off of that.
Correction, against Mizzou.
Mizzou. and then, so the offensive line, it was a complete turnaround. I mean, Austin Kendall looked great, only sacked once during the game.
Yeah.
He only threw one interception during the game. So these were
which
good
was a
things.
Tip. Which was a tip.
Which was
right?
a tip. Yeah, right. It wasn't a bad throw. It was really one of those up in the air jump ball kind of deals.
Yeah.
New Austin Kendall. Well, kind of a new Austin Kendall this
week.
Well,
Austin Kendall is such a, he kind of boggles the mind. He's such a funny watch from week to week. Like this week I remember texting you guys. It's like his touchdown passes were these laser shots that you were like, man, that was a nice pass. And then it would be second and eight and he would try to hit a guy in the flat and it looked like Scooty throwing a ball left-handed. You know, it was just like two different people. And he's so hard to figure out to me.
My issue with him is I think he's more of a facilitator than he is a quarterback. And what I mean by that is I feel like he's managing the game. He doesn't have a lot of, like, there's very little pizzazz about him. He doesn't have the personality that a Will Grier had or even a Pat White had. So I think that that's kind of tough to... Now, maybe he does and we just haven't seen it yet, but to me, he just seems like a facilitator. He just kind of seems like a guy.
I'll give you that, but you got to admit, I'm just saying from... You can tell he... Every once in a while, he flashes. Like the second touchdown pass, the one to Allie Jennings, where he had to put it low and Jennings was sliding and he caught it. That was a beautiful play. It was a really good catch by him too. But when you watch the replay, you know, even the folks commentating on the game made notice of, he had to put it into a window. He fired it in there. It was a good looking throw. And that's what I mean. It's just like some throws you're like, wow, that was terrific. And other throws,
it looked like me throwing a Frisbee. I can put it in a spot.
Putting it in a window, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So speaking about receivers, I guess that George Campbell's only role on the team is to catch touchdown passes. That's all he does. Like, we're not going to throw to you unless it's in the red zone, in the end zone, or whatever.
That's right.
He had one reception, again, 13 yards on that reception for a 13-yard TD. Only catch he had all weekend. This makes three games in a row where the only catch he's had, the only reception he had, has been a touchdown. Scoot, I'm not going to say that you are a football genius, but I think...
Go ahead and say it.
I see talent. Yeah, you see talent. I think he has talent.
I know talent when I see it, and I saw talent in George.
Sam James, though, looked phenomenal.
Yeah, how about Sam James?
155 yards.
Big 12 newcomer of the week.
Yeah, just looked great out there. And this was all done with a suspended Tevin Bush, who didn't play at all. So Sam James really stepped up, took that sort of lead role. But a lot of people caught. I mean, you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people who caught passes this weekend for plus yardage. So that was good. And then on the other side, on the rushing side, Kennedy McCoy had more rushing yards by himself in this game than we had had all season long up to this point.
Yep, that's right.
66 yards for him. We had a total of 179 yards. Hey, guys, we're running the ball again.
Yeah, I think I texted you guys at halftime. We had, already amassed more than the first two games, right, at that point. So
right.
What a nice feeling for a change to have some success. And it was nice to see multiple guys get involved.
Yep.
I mean, I think we had Sinkfield. I think we had McCoy, like you mentioned. And then I was really happy to see Letty Brown get in the game, because you know that's my boy right there. I've been looking for him all season, and so it was nice to see him get in. And I think there was one point late in the game where they were really just mashing the clock, running it down the field, and they went to like a timeout, and Letty Brown was just in the backfield high-fiving the linemen. You know, it was just fun to watch. They were having fun. It was, like I said, it was just such a fun game for a change after those first two.
So we come off of a nice win this week, 44-27 against NC State, Gold Rush weekend. We're playing. We got next week. We start with our conference games, guys.
Yep.
How nervous are you about our kicking off the conference schedule, just in general?
It's Kansas, correct?
Kansas, yep. But I mean, just in general, like now that we've gotten our three non-conference games behind us, how do we fare in the conference overall now? Looking at it,
Scoot, you go first.
I think we got six wins.
Wins in the conference. It's funny. I live in Boston, obviously, and I ran into somebody this weekend. I was out watching the game at the bar, had my West Virginia stuff on, ran into another West Virginia fan, and he's like, oh, yeah. He goes, Texas isn't going to beat us. We've got Texas. He goes, Oklahoma's the only team that's going to beat us. I'm like, man, that's a positive attitude, you West Virginia fan. You know, I got to say, I'm still nervous, guys. I mean, I think NC State had an off week. And did not look good, and we played great. I'm nervous because Kansas, who I don't understand, got beat by Coastal Carolina the previous week, but this weekend they beat the pants off of Boston College. It was like 52-0 or something, wasn't it?
I wonder if that's more of an indictment on Boston College than it is how improved. Nothing against Kansas, but that must mean that Boston College is not really firing on all cylinders. When you're coming off a loss to Coastal Carolina and then you do that to your opponent, I have to think that – I'm sure that Les Miles has them playing solid ball right now, but it doesn't make me nervous to go into Lawrence this coming game.
Looking at our schedule, I need this win.
You need this win.
I need this win.
I think going into the schedule, we all had this as a win. Boston College, so they lost 48. Kansas beat Boston College 48-24. Previous to that, Boston College beat Richmond, which wasn't that great of, you know, as Richmond. And then they gave Virginia, they beat Virginia Tech earlier in the season 35-28. So I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to put it all in perspective. You know, I worry a little. I think we went into this coming week not worrying at all about Kansas, and now I look at what Les Miles did last week against Boston College in Boston. That game was in Boston. Is that correct? I think it was.
Yeah, that was in Boston.
I worry a little bit about, you know, how we look against Kansas.
Well, I think Kansas is one of those games I'm not so worried about from a, you know, to me that's another NC State type-ish, you know, like I don't know a whole lot about them. They're probably solid. They're probably not as solid as NC State. I feel like if we execute the way we just showed, that should be a good game for us. I think I'm going to skip past Texas, Iowa State, and Oklahoma for a second. But if you look at Texas Tech, they got more bad news. That I think Bowman is their quarterback. He has some kind of shoulder injury, which I feel like that's the same kid that was hurt last year. I think he's got a bit of bad luck working against him. But Texas Tech didn't look all that strong against Arizona the other night. I think that's a game, you know, we can play well and maybe still steal a win there. Kansas State had a nice win against Mississippi State. But again, I think, you know, we always play them well. I think the only teams that really scare me in conference right now, TCU's defense. Gary Patterson puts these defenses together that kind of suffocate people, and I think he's got another one this year. I don't know what they do on offense, but I don't think they give up a lot on defense. So that's a game I think, you know, we'd have to play super well, and I think that's a game that could go negative on us. And then I think Oklahoma and Texas, Iowa State, to be honest with you, I think is up in the air. I watched a good bit of that after like 50 hours of rain delay. I watched a little bit of that right. Saturday, and they really – now I know it was messy, it was rainy, it was wet, but they weren't overly impressive. I mean, people talk up Brock Purdy, their quarterback, but I think he could have played better too. Now maybe that's Iowa, you know, I'm sure is a – pretty solid team, but you know, to me, I think the games are there for us if we execute. You know, we could surprise some of these games.
So
for sure.
I feel like I was very anti being able to get bowl eligible. I'm a little closer to feeling like we could get bowl eligible this year. I mean, Johnson, you had five wins picked. I was at three. I'm starting to feel like that three is almost a definite now.
Well, and that's what I started to say. Like, I don't want to kind of rain on this fun that we were having with, like, okay, let's project it forward. To me, the reason I enjoyed this so much Saturday was the state game showed that, you know, we needed to make some adjustments, and man, we did. I mean, it was just fun watching new stuff, you know, new players in positions, new guys playing new roles. You could really tell they made adjustments and it worked. And I love that about, you know, we talk about Neil Brown a lot. I'm a big, Vic Koning fan. I mean, the more I watch this defense, you know, I really start to like what they're doing around the coaching staff, and you can tell they're really studying and making adjustments. And I don't know that we've had that in a while, to be honest, not to, you know, punk on our previous coaches, but I think we've lamented in the past, you know, we often didn't see halftime adjustments or anything like that. So
no, right. I hear you. Definitely. No, that's totally true. Well, we're playing Kansas in Kansas on Saturday. That's a 4:30 game.
Do they, do they do that weird chant if they win? They don't win very often.
Oh, like they rock, do it with the fog out. I don't know.
Whoa, whoa. Like, what are you?
I don't know. I don't know if they do that for football or not. We probably don't know because they don't
win very often.
I don't think. Have we ever lost to them? I don't think we've ever lost to them.
We got beat bad Like 3 years ago,
three seasons ago.
Yeah,
that wasn't when Charlie Weiss was coaching him, was it?
No.
So we play 4:30 on Saturday against them. In case you're wondering, though, that game is on ESPN Plus. So you got to pay to watch that game. You got to subscribe to ESPN Plus to watch that game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So and right now, in case you're wondering, the Vegas odds, because I know we're all big bettors, they came out. West Virginia came out as a 7-point favorite, but after betting starting, it dropped down to a 5.5-point favorite. So we're giving 5.5 points to the Jayhawks right now on that, and the over under on it is 50.5. That's kind of a, for the way we've been playing, you know, we scored 44 and Jayhawks had 48. I mean, that's definitely over, but I don't know if they're going to get more than 50 points. Maybe it's a defensive.
I think the key for this Jayhawks game, they've got, I think their quarterback and then their running back, they're both runners. They're both ground game,
mobile,
you know, offense, yeah, mobile quarterback, good running back. I think that defensive line performance is going to be a big factor again.
Yeah, so we'll see, but everybody watch the game. Well, listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk a little bit about our sponsor, Tactical Legion Knives, and then we'll come back with an update of the Axis, or maybe we're going to call it something else of evil, and much more. So stay right here on Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia-owned and operated company that specializes in heavy-duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey, Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives, and when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, check us out on Twitter. It's at Got Your Ears. And you can also find Scoot on Twitter. He's at Tob Scoot. Johnson's at Tob Johnson. He's the one. Johnson at Tob Johnson is the one who tweets the most during the games. He's got some of the best and funniest things he puts out during the games. And I'm at Tob Guido, so check us out too. Johnson, Axis of Evil, Square of Evil, what are we calling them now?
Yeah, maybe. So we had the feedback that we really need to include Virginia Tech. Everyone hates a Hokie. I get it.
Yep.
I'm open to that too. So instead of the Axis, Scoot and I are thinking that we go to hashtag Trapezoid of Evil.
Okay, I'm with it.
That
way, when you click on it, you don't get as many like crazy Iran and.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah,
it's like, know, people.
We're trying to keep you off a watch list.
That's, yeah, right. You got to make sure.
That's right.
I mean, you got to fly a lot, so we don't want you getting in trouble,
that's
John.
Right. That's right. We don't want to. It's you hit that hashtag, and it's people talking about North Korea, and then Temple beating Maryland. So we need to maybe change it up. So let's go. So let's include the Hokies. Mm-hmm. That's fine, because we're more than happy to talk about when they lose too.
Right.
And we'll go Trapezoid of Evil. So let's just run through really quick. You know, we had been following the women's roller derby team that is Maryland through the first 2 weeks, because we were lamenting how we could not run the ball and they could not be stopped running the ball, if you guys remember. Well,
that's correct.
As we all know, you can only hope to contain the Temple Owls.
And yeah, they massive powerhouse.
All right, they lost over the weekend 20-17 to the Owls. So after you know who's sad in all of this? You know who's sad in all of this?
Is Syracuse?
The Syracuse Orange.
Syracuse came in last week
ranked, and Maryland just beat the crap out of them.
And then Maryland loses on a field goal to Temple.
So that's your – okay, so that's update one. Let's go ahead and get the Hokies in here, because they were on fire. They were playing what is Furman? I had it on the tip of my tongue.
It's a
school.
It's a
school. College. No, I mean, what's their mascot? I can't remember.
It's a ferret.
No, ferrets. They're the p- Paladins,
I think.
Paladins?
Of the Southern Conference, if I remember correctly.
What is a paladin?
Okay. What is it? I don't know. Let's ask Google.
I don't know. It's like a hoy. I don't really know what it is.
Paladin. It's a something medieval, I think. It's
sure it's not a paladin. Or a paladine.
I think you're putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
There is a paladin that's part of Dungeons and Dragons, so apparently it's something to do with Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, it's like an elf of some sort. We'd have to ask Seabass in order to get the correct answer.
I feel like it's not elfin, but we'll go with that.
Okay, so
I actually like the ferrets better. Well, at any rate, whatever they are.
It's some sort of fairy with a sword. I don't know.
and I think they're
the fighting foam swords.
Fighting foam swords. It's the Furman lobber or
larpers.
Yeah, larpers.
Well,
anyway, whatever they are, they listen to this podcast.
They led the Hokies 14-3 at the half this week. They did. So you know there had to be a lot of puckering in Blacksburg when you're down to
that
Furman.
And that game was at Lane Stadium too. So,
now the Hokies ended up
Furman
pulling
scores
it out,
a touchdown. What do they do? What does the elf do?
he throws a three power power times three spell at you.
And he throws glitter. He throws glitter, and you hear like a little tinkling sound in the PA system.
I think they do one of those like. Where they throw someone up in the air, they grab a hobbit and they like crowd surf them. I think that's what they do.
They put somebody in a cloak and they crowd surf them.
We've completely aggravated anyone who happens to be at Furman. But anyway,
yeah, definitely. All right, so the Hokies, contingent. The Hokies did though in the end pull it off.
They did. Yes. So unfortunately for us, they won. But and so then let's end with the most evilly. Of the evil games from Saturday was Penn State and Pitt in a showdown of suck. Penn State, who somehow is ranked 13th, which after watching a bit of that game, I find hard to believe. But anyway, they won 17-10 in a game that just had all the excitement of grass growing.
So I had posted partway through the first half of our game an ears poll about who would you rather see win, Pitt or Penn State. And unfortunately, I got more comments about how people refused to vote in the pool than votes I got. So,
that's right. I saw that too.
Yeah. So that's one of those things where I think that you vote for like, you know, Hurricane Dorian to make like a quick turn over Beaver Stadium. And kind of deal with it than anything else.
Yeah, that's one of those games you seriously have no idea who to root for. But you know, this is one of those things they kind of refused to play each other. I think they had finally gotten this rivalry back together. This was the last game for like 4 years. So
yeah.
I don't know that you roll out of this game with like, man, can't wait to see that again. But but you got a 17-10 barn burner.
Speaking of Pitt, though, I'm more excited about our game against Pitt. I think there will be more fan excitement about it, at least from the West Virginia side, because I really don't think Pitt actually has fans. I've seen Pitt games on television, and there's
usually
12 or 13 people in the stadium.
A while back there, one of the last World Cups, North Korea had qualified, and they were not allowed to have fans in the stadium because it was not in North Korea. So they hired actors to sit in the stands.
That's kind of
so
what.
So do you think maybe that's what's going on?
And you know what's so funny about the actors that Pitt hires to be in the stands for the Pitt games? They're all dressed in yellow, just like the seats at Heinz Field. It's pretty amazing. So,
yeah. I'm not going to name because I can't remember who exactly to give it credit to, but someone had a picture that they tweeted out from the stands of that game during the day Saturday, and it was a woman wearing a shirt. You know how Penn State says "We are," and then the other side says Penn State. She had a shirt on that said "We aren't." Penn State, and it was in Pitt colors, and Arendt was spelled A-R-E apostrophe N-T.
Arendt.
Someone just tweeted it out and said, wow. And I just thought that was great.
But speaking of fans loving or hating teams, I want to just talk about the West Virginia University fans. And this weekend at the NC State game at home, NC State brought their band, and kudos to their band, by the way. NC State's band sat out in the stadium the whole time. They sat there. They stayed in their seats for all of Country Roads at the end of the game. Kudos to them. But NC State's band came out, and part of their halftime show, what song did they play? Sweet Caroline.
And it was wonderful.
And it was the funniest thing ever. So if for those of you who don't know this, you're not real West Virginia fans, but for those of you who don't know this, Pitt, for years, really, has played Sweet Caroline during their football games. I don't know if they do it during their basketball games. I assume they do. But and West Virginia fans have kind of grown accustomed to, during the interlude where it goes, Sweet Caroline, dun, 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 that part, they yell, eat shit, Pitt. And so during the middle of the band playing this weekend, the whole stadium in gold at Mountaineer Field, in the middle of the band's song, yelled, eat shit, Pitt, completely so loud. It's a great video. It's all over Twitter.
And everyone was so happy. It was great.
Yeah. I mean, the tickets are going to be hard to come by. I really don't care how good which team is. That Pitt home and home that's coming up is just going to be just phenomenal to go to.
It really is.
I might actually come in and try to go to the one in Pittsburgh instead of the one in Morgantown. I think the one in Pittsburgh might be more fun.
Well, I think either one's going to feel like a home game, so it won't matter.
Yeah, either one will feel like a
home. The one in Pittsburgh might have more available seats.
Yeah, probably. Probably have more available seats and more West Virginia fans there because that stadium's bigger. Heinz Field's bigger than Mountaineer Field. Well, listen, let's take a break. We're going to come back with our final segment, a segment we like to call Earful. So stay right there. We'll be right back on Got Your Ears On. All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido. Don't forget, check us out online. It's we got a website, right, Johnson?
Oh yeah. It's gotyourearson.com.
Gotyourearson.com. It's kind of like the hub. You can find everything out about us, see what's going on, what our tweets are.
Links to the latest show, links to Facebook, links to Twitter. Our bios are on there. You can link us on Twitter. It's all on there.
And don't forget, you can subscribe on iTunes. You can subscribe on Podbean. So make sure you check us out and subscribe to the podcast that you're listening to right now. But this is a segment we like to call hashtag Earful. And this is kind of where one of us rants about something. Scoot, you got a little bit of a rant this week.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned because outside of West Virginia, there's at times can be a negative perception by the rest of, you know, the United States. And a lot of times I feel like maybe I've got a bias or I'm a little angry about it, but the television broadcasts often will pan the crowd. And we have a situation at our stadium where the students, I don't know what the best time to show that section is, because a lot of times they show up late and then they leave early.
Well, so, I can tell you, the best time to show that section is like after, like with about 2 minutes left in the first quarter until halftime. That's about the only time you can show that section. Other than that, it's empty.
And it looks like, I would call it, it looks like the outline of Nevada of empty seats. It's the Nevada of empty seats.
Well, it's always that north end of the upper deck that's just always sparse.
So here's my suggestion.
Go ahead.
I say you double the amount of people that you overbook the seats, so to speak. I know the fire marshal's not going to be happy with that. But maybe if you say, you know what, for every seat we're going to give two kids tickets, then maybe you get half of them to stay. I don't know. I know a lot of people say, well, let's just sell the seats outright or whatever, and
but make, I think all those tickets are spoken for. But let me ask you this, Johnson, you're an old boy, and you went to West Virginia University decades ago.
Decades.
When you,
many.
Is that a lie? Was it decades ago that you went to West Virginia University?
Was it decades? I mean,
when you,
I guess that's
when you were
true.
A student there, and you got and you went down to the. Would you have to go down the mountain layer? You used to have to go down the mountain layer to get your ticket, right?
Yes.
I don't know how they do it now, but
so you, back you went in bell bottoms, you were wearing bell bottoms.
Yeah, back when you were wearing no, he was wearing cargo shorts. But
well, I mean,
back,
I still wear cargo shorts.
Lay off the cargs, man. What's wrong with you?
So you went in the mountain layer in your cargo shorts. You got your ticket for the game. But where was the student section when you were at WVU?
No, same as it is now. I mean, it's been that configuration for a while.
No, because it was only in the second deck.
No, because I always sat in the end zone in the lower deck near the goal.
You had that lower
deck.
Yeah.
Was this legal, or did you just slide down?
No, that was part of the. No, that was officially part of the student section.
Was this pre-fence? Was this before they put the fence up for the students? They fenced them in.
Yeah, that was pre-fence. But you know, my thing, the reason I brought this up to Scoot though, for this, I saw a ton of chatter about this on Twitter, and I think, and you calling me out for being an old boy, that's how I'll kind of weigh in on this. I think we, in our minds, we think back and we start to go, in my day, it didn't matter if it was hailing. I was in the student section. No, you weren't. You know what I mean? Like, no, you weren't. That section was just as sparse most times as it is today. It's just, unfortunately, I think we're more hypersensitive to it because everyone can take a picture. You know, I love when people start tweeting out 30 minutes before kickoff and they tweet those pictures out, you know, like to try and say who's got the most loyal fan base or something. And I think these student seats have always kind of looked like that. We just think they haven't. I mean, the students show up at the really big games.
Is there a solution though? Like look at other schools. Let's say, let's say Clemson and Alabama, since they're the two most prominent football programs probably out there. Do their student sections, are they the same? Is it similar? I mean, is
it? No, not at all. I mean, I think relatively speaking, we're pretty spoiled. Our students are spoiled in not only the allotment that they get, but those are good seats too. I mean, that like where the Maniacs sit in the upper deck midfield, those are good seats. And I think, so not to ramble on too much about this, but I think what you could do is take that very section away and just essentially shift everyone down the upper deck, take a section away. But something tells me, and Scoot, your buddy actually might have the inside scoop on some of this for an opinion, but I have a feeling that they have never done that because of the relationship that the Maniacs have with you know, with the powers that be in the athletic department, because they are loyal, they do show up all the time, and they do use those seats. You know, I think it would, in their defense, it would suck to say, okay, shift everyone down a section because we're not utilizing one, and you've moved them off the, you know, off of a prime spot.
I feel like you got to get rid of that lower section. I feel like it doesn't look as bad on television or whatever on camera if you got rid of that lower section and you said student seats are upstairs. Otherwise, you gotta buy tickets.
I know where you're coming from, but that bottom section is usually what's packed of the student seats. You know, mid upper deck in that lower section.
We'll call that the Las Vegas of the empty seat Nevada.
But I think those kids still come. I still think they sit upstairs. I don't know. I think the difference is, and I don't. I honestly, I don't necessarily mind the showing up late. It's kind of annoying. I get that. It's the leaving at halftime that drives me crazy. And it's the leaving at halftime no matter what. And this has been going on for years. It's the leaving at halftime no matter what state the game is in.
Well, you know? The reason I think it stays an interesting conversation, though, is because with the way everything is driven by money, and if there's any leverage to get any more money, you know, beer sales or, you know, whatever it is, the athletic department jumps on it. It's just, it's interesting to me that they don't move on that, because I'm sure if you quantified a full section of the stadium and you said, you know, even if you gave it a pretty conservative face value, that's got to be a lot of money over a full
season.
Yeah,
but here, do you really, I mean, like, I guess in your average season, I mean, if we had another, you know, take the once every 10 year great season that we get, if you have an average season, are you selling those? I mean, you're not selling that. If you take students' tickets away, are you selling those tickets?
I mean, I'm making the assumption you're selling those seats. Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. You're not always going to sell.
I think we weren't sold out.
I mean, NC State wasn't sold out, I don't think, was it? What's sell out there? It was 57,000. Is that sell out?
No.
I thought they held 64.
I thought it was like 64. I think it's right at 60 is what we call a sell out.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're still not selling out, you know, so... I hear you, Johnson. I mean, I feel like, you know, I think they need to, I wish there was a way to make it look better. Maybe we need to paint all the bleachers yellow. Maybe that's what we need to do.
Well,
we need to do the Heinz Field thing, you know. That's what you have
to do. But you're panning the wrong side of the, you know, if you were panning the home side of the stadium, you'd never know.
You don't ever see that side because the cameras are always where the press box is.
On the press box side. Maybe move the students over there.
Flip the WV on the on the field.
It's not that hard, guys. Come on. We're boom. We figured this out. Why can't they do it? You know? Where's E. Gordon Gee when you need him? Like, seriously. Easy fix.
Shane Lyons. Hashtag flip the WV.
Call us Shane Lyons.
We're gonna start a movement.
We got the answer. Flip the WV. Hashtag.
Like, if there's a game that we win against a ranked team, let's say Texas is ranked high, and Johnson is at the game, and people go to rush the field, Johnson's going to be out there with some scissors working on the field to try to flip the WV instead of take down a goalpost.
Yes.
Flip the WV. Yeah, so that's our earful for this week. Make those students sit in their seats. That's what it is. Maybe they need to get
flip
credit.
The WV.
You get credit. Hashtag flip the WV. All right. Well, listen, guys, don't forget this week's game is a 4:30 game on Saturday against Kansas away, and that game's on ESPN+. And we'll be back next week with another episode kind of reviewing, hopefully, a win against Kansas and talking much more about West Virginia University sports. Also, folks, don't forget, get online. Follow us on Twitter. It's at Got Your Ears. And I just put a link up, by the way. You should look. You can buy that Make West Virginia Basketball Great Again hat from Bob Huggins. So we got to get Johnson one of those. He needs one of those for sure. But we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. This has been Got Your Ears On.